Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Hellenberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you again.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, it's always kind of exciting when we get to hear about a story that it didn't make it to the paper this week, right? It just happened.
Just happened Thursday. Yep.
Yeah.
Thursday morning. And we had been sort of anticipating something on this because on Wednesday, the Minnesota Court of Appeals had held oral arguments on an ongoing issue where you have environmental groups and the Fond du Lac Band. They have been challenging two of the permits that the DNR had issued for the Polymet Mining's proposed Northmet copper nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes. And, of course, we've been talking about some of these issues for a while, and there's been kind of a flurry of litigation. This one in particular is over the permit to mine and the dam safety permit. And a couple of the issues surrounding that, there have been concerns raised about some of these dam collapses around some tailings facilities in Brazil. And so some of those issues that were raised in this litigation, and then also questions about whether or not Glencore, the company that now owns the majority of Polymet, should be added to the permit to mine. So those were a couple of key issues that the Court of Appeals had indicated they wanted to hear about. And in September, they had issued a stay that was going to last through October 23rd, and then, but they did not rule on Wednesday on that. But then on Thursday, then they did send issue an order and indicated that they're going to be continuing the stay based on the arguments that were made on Wednesday. They're going to be continuing it at least until they make a ruling on those on the issues raised in that suit. And so that will mean that that Polymet's two permits will probably be stayed at least until late January. The court has 90 days in which to issue their ruling. So so it means that they will be suspended at least until probably early next year.
Okay. There'll be more continuing story on Polymet, as always.
And we should mention, too, that there's another permit is actually stayed as well, and that's the water discharge permit. And that's a separate issue. That's litigation over those allegations that officials with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency pressured top administrators with the EPA to withhold written comments. That were raising concerns about whether or not that particular permit complied with the Clean Water Act. So so lots of stuff happening, obviously, on this front, and we'll be following it.
All right, let's move on to another story. You don't hear this every day about an old mine being found. Where was it, and what's the story?
Yeah, very interesting story, actually. We found out about it about a week or so ago when a fellow had come into our office. He actually is a property owner on Pine Island, which is a very large island. It's the largest island in Lake Vermilion. It's about 7 miles long. And this fellow owns property on the north side of the island. It's quite undeveloped on that side of the island. And for years, there's been two pits that were, you know, obviously excavated by miners at some point, but they had assumed that they were exploration pits. But, you know, this guy eventually decided that it probably is a public hazard. The fellow was the adjacent property owner, and he did alert the St. Louis County Lands Office about these pits. Well, it turns out one of them was an exploration pit. The other one is a mine shaft. And they don't know how far down it goes. They did measure with a tape measure, and it goes down at least 100 feet, which is when they ran out of tape. And how much further it goes down below that, they have no idea. So this was clearly a fairly extensive operation, you know, to sink a shaft in excess of 100 feet. And they say based on the amount of waste rock material piled nearby, they think it's not only the shaft, but also there may be some drifts that were excavated as well. And of course, drifts are the horizontal tunnels that are dug off of a mine shaft.
Okay.
And they believe that they had actually had a couple geologists out there to take a look at the site and document it, and to try to find some information on it. And they were the geologists were unable to find any record of this mining operation, which is pretty unusual. I mean, even, the sort of wildcat type operations usually had some documentation. So it's quite rare to find a mine shaft like this, this deep, that is not documented in any way. And they are obviously concerned about it. I know that for years, animals have fallen in this pit, and the adjacent landowner had indicated that it was not uncommon to see rotting, animal carcasses, in the water, and that comes up quite close to the surface on both of these pits. So they realized it was a safety risk, and they decided that the St. Louis County decided once they knew about it that they were going to address it, and they're currently planning to backfill it with the waste material that's still at the site. So in one sense, it's a little bit kind of too bad that these historic mine is going to end up being filled in without any other exploration, but at the same time, I think the public safety risk they felt kind of outweighed the any interest in trying to preserve it as an historic site. It looked like it. The geologists believe that this mine dates back to the 1890s. There was some thought that this might have been a gold mine, which would have dated back probably to the 1860s when we had the gold rush up here. But the geologist said, no, this looks like they were going after iron ore. And there actually was a vein of iron ore that appeared on geological maps that were available at that time that did show this an iron ore deposit there on Pine Island. And that could have been what they were going after. And it's interesting to think about because, talk about an inconvenient place to have a mine, especially for iron ore. I could see if you were mining gold, it's a pretty valuable commodity, but iron ore is, it's not exactly high value. So it's unclear exactly what their business model was in terms of how they were going to make a mine on an island, financially viable. But I guess we don't have the miners around to question anymore.
Yeah. Wow, that is interesting. Let's stick with Lake Vermilion. There was a record set. Muskie, right?
That's right. Yeah, I tell you what, you don't want to go skinny dipping in Lake Vermilion, not with muskies like this running around. It's incredible. We did have a picture of this, the guy, his name is Corey Kitzman, and he's from Davenport, Iowa, although he does have a family cabin on Lake Vermilion, so he does spend a fair amount of time up here in the summer. And he likes to fish muskie, and he decided to go out. He said he was actually mourning the loss of a close friend of his. He had just gotten word this day that his friend had died, and he was there at the cabin by himself, didn't have anyone to really talk to, and he said, well, I might as well just go fishing. He said he likes to spend time in the boat, and that's where he does most of his thinking about life, and he thought that was a good thing to do, and he ended up catching this gigantic muskie with a lure that he had just been tying that day, and he just finished it up and decided to give it a try, and apparently it worked.
Hmm.
And we do have a picture, and this picture has gotten around. Actually, there's been some national publicity about this catch, and this muskie is just, it's enormous. Of course, it's 57 1/4 inches. But the head, I think, is what's most impressive on this thing. I mean, it looks like it could, basically swallow your leg. You can just, I don't know. It's amazing to think about these things swimming right underneath the surface of the water. It definitely does keep some people from swimming in Lake Vermilion these days. I know that for a fact.
I don't know. Those monsters and then mine pits. Wow.
I know.
It's a lot of drama. And
interesting stuff.
Yeah, plays into the rivalry, the Iowa-Minnesota. I'm glad to hear he has a cabin there because otherwise it might have been trouble.
I know. Yeah.
That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, have a great weekend. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.